You're listening to the Word Slinger Podcast, episode 133, You Can't Edit a Blank Page, with Chuck Manley. This episode of the Word Slinger Podcast is brought to you by Draft to Digital. Convert your manuscript, distribute it online, and get support the whole way at drafttodigital.com.
It's the Word Slinger Podcast, where story matters. Build your brand, write your book, redefine who you are. It's all about the story here. What's yours? Now, here's the guy who invented pants optional, Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger.
Word Slinger.
Heyo! I recently got referred to as a sounding like a nighttime talk show host by Joanna Penn, so thought I'd play up that just a bit. So, hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to my show, the Word Slinger Podcast. I've gotten a lot of emails and Facebook messages and even personal text messages from people who heard my spot on the, it's actually Draft Digital's spot, by the way, who heard the spot on the Creative Pen Podcast. And I dig the groovy music in the background of that thing, you know, whatever. Maybe I'll start putting that behind my intros on Word Slinger Podcast. So this is officially episode. This is going to sound a little weird, but this is episode 2 of the video version of the podcast that's going on. Going to go up on YouTube. I'm recording this a full solid week in advance because I'll be traveling as of tomorrow from my time. I'm going to be leaving tomorrow morning, Friday. I'm going to spend, Karen and I are going to road trip it. We're going to go up to Colorado by way of Waco. We're just going to kind of hang out in Waco, and I know I got some folks around that area. Karen and I are talking about our schedules a little to see if there's a way to do some visits, just chat with some folks. We're really only there for the one night, and we've kind of already planned everything we were going to do, dinner and that sort of thing, but hopefully. So, because, you know, I love, you know, chatting everybody up. I love meeting people out in the, we'll say IRL, because that's what the kids say. So this week, man, I'm talking with Chuck Manley. You're going to enjoy this interview. I always call out his name, but you get to see Chuck on video. So make sure you go and check out the new YouTube channel. And you can find that at bit.ly/wordslingerpodcast. That's going to take you right to the YouTube channel directly. Please hit subscribe, and please hit the little bell icon so that you can get notified every time a Word Slinger podcast goes up. I think that's going to be pretty cool. I'm still kind of feeling things out as far as producing that. And I've had lots of mentors to kind of talk me through a few things. I'm going to be digging a little deeper too. I'm talking, you know, I've talked to Joe and Kate Russo a little about how they operate their channel. They're putting in just ridiculous numbers of hours each week, but we got a different format show. I produce my show in interview format for a variety of reasons. But I've also talked with Tim Knox and Dale Roberts. These guys have successful YouTube shows. By the way, all three of these, four technically, I don't know why. Kate, I'm sorry. I apologize. I always mention you alongside Joe and then don't count you when I'm talking about your shows. So I've talked to all four of these individuals about their three respective shows and how they operate things for this very podcast. So you're going to want to tune in for those in the future. But That's all housekeeping stuff we could have talked about after the interview. At any rate, very excited about the YouTube thing, and definitely check that out. And now I think what I'm going to do is hop right on in to this interview with Chuck Manley so that you can get his pearls of wisdom. Really enjoyed this interview. I hope you do too. And I'll stick around. We'll do some more housekeeping right after the interview. See you there. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. All right. Today I am talking to, now the name is Legend, actually. I keep every time I turn around, some bozo out there that I'm interviewing is telling me you need to talk to Chuck Manley. I mean, how can I not want to talk to you, dude, with a name like Chuck Manley? So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I just want to say my name son, over and over again.
Yeah, my son actually has a little bit better. His name is Jacob, and we call him Jake. So he's Jake Manley. And I keep telling him he needs to be a private investigator when he grows up. Just like
no
Jake
kidding.
Manley, P.I.
No kidding, man. That kid has to have a permanent fedora mounted to his
exactly,
head.
Exactly. So,
Okay. All kidding aside, I mean, you are an independent author, me and many other people I talk to. So you're the author of the Paragons trilogy. I did not mention that in the intro yet. Among other things, you got some other things going on, including a podcast. Sure. You just told me.
I do. I have the Story Shots podcast. It's 10 or 15 minutes long each episode. And it's basically just, I take writing rules like show, don't tell, things like that. I try to drill down and really give examples of how to do that. Because back in the day when I was first getting into this, I'd ask, hey, how do you show, don't tell? And I'd get all this fluffy, oh, you have to feel the nuances of the words kind of stuff. And I was like, that's just useless, man. You got to tell me what to do. I want nuts and bolts here. So it's kind of like that.
To be fair, I think you do have to feel the nuances of the words.
I agree, but you kind of have to know what words to use first.
Exactly. All right. So it's a real quick writing advice show.
It is. And I touch a little bit on just the writer's lifestyle stuff too, about work ethic and, you know, things like that. It's mostly for people who are just kind of getting into it and maybe don't have their craft where it needs to be. Right. Cause when I first discovered indie publishing, you know, the standing advice is go out, find the best books in your genre, read those books. Sure. But I don't think we mention enough that you should also find the crappiest books in your genre and read those too to figure out why they're crap. All right. And I did that, and I've been doing that since before KDP, but and I read some of these not so good books. And I realized that they actually had really good ideas behind them. It's just the writer didn't have the nuts and bolts craft that they needed to get their idea across effectively. And I felt like, you know, that's something I could help with. So the Story Shots was born. I did a couple of guest hosts on the Sterling and Stone Guys Smarter Artist podcast.
Yeah.
And that is kind of what got me into it. And then when that went away, I decided to try and slip my own thing kind of into that space.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I used to do, their 8 questions. I used to host that.
Yeah. Yes. That's, so. I like that one too. And it also went away.
It also went away. Yeah. That's okay, man. I was doing too many podcasts as it was, honestly.
You are prodigious. Cause I mean, your voice is, you know, I could hear it anywhere and know exactly who was talking. I've heard you a lot.
I'll take it as a compliment.
You should. Warning, not at all. Not at all.
All right. So, okay. How long have you been doing this, man? How long have you been writing?
Oh, well, there's a story there too, of course. It's about 1975. Mm-hmm. I was 8 years old. Lived in Pasadena, Texas at the time, actually.
Oh, okay. All right.
And
stomping grounds.
I wrote a short story for my class, I guess, fourth grade, I guess. And it was a Halloween story. And it was about me and my class going to a ghost town.
Okay.
And everybody disappeared except for me. And I had to save the day. But my teacher read it. And she liked it so much, she read it to the class. And then she showed it to the other teacher in the same grade as me. And she read it to her class. And then they showed it to the principal. And he put it on the bulletin board outside the lunchroom doors, which... Yeah. For me at the time as an 8 year old with a, we'll call it an excessively dramatic home life. That made me feel like a rock star. And I've just had I've had the bug ever since.
Your first public publication.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's cool. I had a couple of experiences like that when I was in school. That really kind of set me on the road.
So. Exactly. I started writing, you know, those marble covered black and white primers you used to back in school?
Composition books, yeah.
The composition books, yeah. I would actually sit down and write Hardy Boy style mysteries with me and my best friend as the two characters in those. And it just, you know, it's been snowballing ever since.
Yeah, it's cool, man. That's very cool. Yeah, I used to do that. I used to ape the Encyclopedia Brown stories.
Oh yeah, I love those. There was another one. Hitchcock actually had a three investigators line too that I always liked a lot. There was a bunch of those back then. They're harder to find now.
Yeah, it seems like stuff like that. It was a little more fun back then, I think.
Yeah, everybody wanted to be a detective, Now everybody wants to be a vampire or Harry Potter or something.
Yeah, let's go back to
which isn't bad, but I kind of miss the whole. It was a lot more innocent then. It was a lot more innocent then.
Yeah, now to sound old. If it's like a private investigator television series or something, it's got to be dark and
brooding
hero,
ultra realistic or something. I don't know what we're going for these days.
Who wants realism? Nobody wants realism.
Exactly. Reality is overrated. That's kind of why we do this, right?
That's the whole point. Yeah, that's what got us. So when did you actually start writing for money? I mean, just publishing.
I wrote my first novel. I finished it. Oh gosh, mid '90s, I guess. And I started, I'd been submitting short stories and things like that to the magazines back then. And, I collected my enormous stack of rejection letters and all that stuff. I have a handwritten rejection letter from Marion Zimmer Bradley. That was the best one. Yeah. That was the best one I ever got. And she said she liked the story. It just didn't fit, blah, blah, blah. But around about, late '90s, I'd been doing the submission thing for, ever. I had one completed novel and a couple of other closet novels that were actually sitting in my closet right now still. But I just got fed up with the whole TradPub thing. I actually met a writer who was a friend of a friend, and he started telling me about the business side of actually being published and all that stuff. And it kind of depressed me when he started laying it out for me. He would tell me, I sold the rights to this. I optioned it to a studio and they said they'd pay me this much. And by the time the publishers and everybody's agent and everything else, got through with it and an actual check got to him, he said he'd lost like 70% of his money.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, I loved writing and telling stories. So I kind of just got frustrated with it and I sort of refocused my efforts into more personal things. I could write for friends and family. I was real heavy into RPG gaming back then, tabletop gaming.
Right.
So for a long time, I just wrote scenarios for role-playing games that I would give to friends and give to other friends to play at their tables and stuff like that. And then in 2014, a buddy of mine that was actually a gaming buddy of mine, he told me about an anthology he thought I should submit to, a short story anthology. The story I submitted got rejected, but through that experience, getting back into the publishing world, I discovered KDP and where we'd gone with the Kindle and all that stuff, and I haven't looked back since.
Yeah.
I just put up my sixth book, and I'm 2 books into a space opera series, and I started the draft on the third one yesterday. So
wow. That's cool.
It's just, been a long road, but I really like where I am now. I just got to figure out all this business stuff because I'm not businessy. I don't business well.
Yeah.
Well. I'm better than I was 2 years ago and not as good as I'll be next year, but it's still very difficult for me.
Yeah. I can imagine. How many books do you have out right now?
The short story collection I just posted would be number 6. And then my first 3 is a completed trilogy. I have a box set of that. So technically I have 7.
Okay. And how do you, think of yourself? Are you a sci-fi author? Or are you,
I like to think of myself as a speculative fiction writer.
Okay.
Speculative fiction is sort of that umbrella. Yeah. That little umbrella catch-all for anything fantastic in a book. I can pretty much write it. I've got ideas for thrillers that have like weird science type things like the Joe Ledger series from Ma Berry. And, I've got more ideas and I've got lifetime to write them. So
The curse of the author.
And everything I do, I do have some straight up, regular type thrillers in mind, but most everything I do tends to veer off into the weird at some point to some degree.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Cause that's just fun.
Yeah. Exactly, right? If you're not going to have any fun with it, then why do it?
Fun is rule one. Absolutely. Yeah. Always.
So what's your routine right now? What do you?
Well, I am fortunate enough that I had a very career-minded wife that I fooled into marrying me.
Okay.
About 20 years ago. So she makes a good enough living that I can stay home. Okay. And take care of the kids. So pretty much I get up at 5:30 every morning. I get the wife and kids off to work and school. I'm at my desk by about 9-ish. And I write the first part. And then after that, I, you know, like right now I'm struggling with the Amazon marketing ads. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just do the businessy stuff later in the afternoons. Like tomorrow afternoon, I'm supposed to go to a local radio station and read some flash fiction pieces that I've got for the college radio, you know, stuff like that. But, and then I pick my kids up, or my kids come home on the bus in the afternoon, and I'm dad after that.
Yeah.
It's not a bad gig, man.
No, that's the way you want to do it, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Well, it's good you have kind of the buffer there, but are you, how are things going? You don't have to give me numbers or anything here, but I mean, how are things going with book sales?
Oh, I'll be happy to give you numbers because they're not that impressive. They actually, this year has been pretty good. It's been my best year so far. I haven't done well up to now, mainly because I was, you know, still getting my feet wet and learning about marketing and stuff. But this is the first year that I will actually have a four-figure year.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I figure 2.5 years in, that's probably average, I would guess. I don't know.
That's probably pretty average.
You know, they recently made some changes to the KU stuff. And right now I'm seeing a dip because I think things are drying up a little bit on that respect. And
yeah,
but I mean, you know, like I said, it's better than it was 2 years ago and hopefully not as good as it'll be next year.
Exactly.
So right. This is a marathon, not a sprint. So
are you, you exclusive? You're at
NKU? I'm exclusive at the moment. I actually have, now that I've got a little bit of a backlist, I want to dip my toe into the wider pool.
Yeah.
So the first book in my Space Opera series is coming out next month, and I'm actually going to, I think that's how we connected, actually. I'm going to go with Draft to Digital to try and get myself out there in the world, because I figure they can help me with all the stuff that I have trouble with.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
yeah,
you still got to do your marketing and that.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, they can like get it formatted and distribute it and do all that. And
that's all that, yeah.
The biggest thing is the time. You know, if I didn't have to sleep, I could probably do all of this stuff and learn all of this stuff myself. But at some point, I have to step away from the keyboard. And according to my wife, I don't do it nearly enough already. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I get a little bit of that myself, you know, between the books and draft to digital work, you know, I kind of spend probably a little more time than I should.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. So, all right. So you're okay. You're planning to go wide. That's cool. I mean, you got a strategy for how you're going to do that yet? Or is it just, I mean, you're going to do promotions of any kind, or?
I will, but I'm kind of hoping I can talk to the folks at Draft to Digital and they can sort of give me some guidance into how to approach that. Cause when you're all in with Amazon, really AMS is the way to go. Cause you know, you've got that base that's already there to buy something.
Right.
So I was going to kind of ask around and get some advice before I actually, you know, put anything out there. But there will be some promotion. I'm just going to have to figure out the best way to approach it as I get closer to the
time. I will tell you. So, you know, everybody's falling back on Facebook ads, and I think you can still milk that a little. I had a conversation with an author a few days ago. She's not on the show. I didn't interview her for the show, although I probably should. She's got about 70 books out. Here's what I know. Dude, I used to go around like, I got like 40 books out and, you know, revel in the praise. And now I'm like, I'm minor. She's got about 70 books out. And what she told me was she runs Amazon ads exclusively, even though she's wide. And she still sees an uptick every time she has an ad.
That is the only one I'm running right now. I've done Facebook. I've done all the like Book Gorilla and Free Booksy. I've done all those list things, and I've never had a BookBub. But
I just got my first BookBub.
Did you really? Congratulations! I think that's like throw a party kind of congratulations.
It is. I've kept it kind of subdued.
That is awesome, man.
Nah, but, yeah. Well, and that, I thought it was interesting because she was saying she's wide. She sees an uptick on her other channels. So I don't know how that's translating. I have a theory it might be tied in because, you know, Amazon is a search engine. So it might be tied in with, you know, somehow. I asked her if she had Google Analytics, you know, go check and see where her traffic's coming from. And
that's a good point.
Yeah. So
I will definitely keep that in mind.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Let me know if you start experimenting. It's harder for me to, I'm going to start running more of those ads. All right. Did you do like Brian Meeks's course?
Actually, that's what got me into it was your interview with him.
Okay.
And, I bought the book and, I've been reading it and so far I've read enough of it that I've reworked the product descriptions on both my series starters.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of looking at the covers now to see if I need to tweak those too, but that's a very useful book. But still, as well as he explains it, the numbers, once I see those numbers, it's my brain gets a little dizzy. I start thinking whiskey tastes good. You know, that's
exactly. You and I are on the same page. All of them. So I'm looking at your covers and I think your cover's pretty good. I don't think
thank you.
Special that you need to do. They're consistent, you know, they look like,
yeah, I tried to keep them branded.
Yeah. Know? That's good. That was a mistake I made early on was I did not try to keep my work branded and I didn't even think about it. Even though I was a marketing guy at the time, I didn't think about it.
Oh, well, you should have seen my first book description. It was like a chapter out of the book. I mean, it was just this huge long block of text.
Yeah.
I thought I had to use every single character.
Right.
Yeah. Cause I mean, my work history is in healthcare and electronics. I've never done anything business related in my life.
Right.
So this is all new territory to me.
Healthcare, so man. Yeah. Just think of it like healthcare. I'm sure there's an analogy there.
Well, I worked in surgery, so my patients were all asleep with tubes down their throats.
Right.
So there wasn't a lot of communication going on.
Your book copy is the patient. They have an excess of something.
Yes. Cut it down. But yeah, I have cut the last one. The one I posted yesterday is cut substantially. Yeah. I've decided now I'm going to try and just keep them under 150 words if I can. Just keep them nice.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah.
There's a whole formula you can – not a formula. I hate telling people that. You know, I don't do this for just anyone these days. I only do this on referral because I'm very expensive for anyone. but, you know, I write book descriptions for some pretty well-known authors out there. Yeah. And I have a kind of – formula of sorts. I need to probably boil it down. You know, I got links to how to write a good book description on Drafted Digital.
I will keep that. Yeah. I'll definitely read that for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to put that down in the show notes, description. Okay. So, not to veer off too much, but you're pretty much a one man shop right now. You're handling your covers. Do you design your covers? Or are you?
I designed the first one. I did that one myself with a little help from a buddy of mine here in town. The rest of them are either he helped me, he did them for me, or I used 99 Designs.
Okay.
And there is one, the cover from the first Brace Cordova book. That's actually a pre-made. I got off of it for like $40. I got off one of the pre-made sites and then I'm branding off of that one for the rest of them through 99 Designs.
Okay. That's the Cordova Vector.
Is that correct. Yeah, yeah. The Cordova Vector.
Which is quite a cool cover. And I do see I see some elements in the books that follow. So
yeah, there's only the one after that. So I'm going to try and keep the font the same and, you know, stuff like that down the road. No, there'll be five books in that series. So
Yeah. No, I think it's a good job. It's very definitely sci-fi. It's got a great look to it. So good work. I'm looking at Walking World and the very first thing that comes up in my brain is Walking Dead.
Well, yeah, I can see that for sure.
But it does have that look, by the way. Like it has that. Not the bleakness of it, but it kind of looks like it might tie in. So you have at least one zombie story in that book.
There's a epic fantasy story in that book that has some zombie like bad guys in it. So
okay, there you go.
We'll count that. We'll count that.
Good. Yeah. So you're, all right. You worked in the medical field. You were a surgeon.
No, I was not a surgeon. I was a cardiovascular technologist.
Okay.
Before that, I worked in mental health care.
Okay.
So yeah, basically I operated, life support equipment in cardiac and trauma surgery.
I see. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's interesting. I have, this is nothing to do with you. I have a pacemaker.
My wife is actually a pacemaker specialist.
Oh, is she? Okay.
Yeah. Pacemakers and internal defibrillators and stuff
like
that.
I need to ask, and we need to ask her, like, why are they not? Is anyone going to ever make a pacemaker that can be charged by induction instead of me having to go under the knife every, 10 years?
That's something that they're working on. They're trying to, get it to where you don't, they're trying to make them as non-invasive as possible, where basically once they're in, you slip it in the pocket, you stitch them up, and they're fire and forget. You know,
that's
you don't ever have to go back in.
That's what I want. I'm not looking forward to having to go back. And
no, it's a pain. It's a huge, huge pain.
That's we're so off trail. So
don't worry about it, man.
You're writing primarily sci-fi. You're speculative fiction. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you that one.
Well, like the Cordova books are very much space opera, 100%. Right, they're it's Firefly with aliens, basically. Oh, okay. That's the tagline. The first book, though, the first one I did in KDP, I made the mistake of it doesn't fit real well into one genre.
Okay.
It's I like to call it my science fiction thriller with superhero icing and horror sprinkles.
Okay.
It's a big cupcake. My science. Right. Yeah. And so it's got a little bit of everything in there, but it also fit, it fits in Amazon under the superhero and contemporary fantasy categories.
Right.
So I got some in the fantasy set. I got some in the science fiction set. So I just put that speculative fiction umbrella over all of it. And I get bored writing in one genre.
Right.
That's actually where the Walking World story collection came out. Because between books, I'm sick of sci-fi. I'm going to sit down and write an epic fantasy short story to sort of cleanse the mental palate before I go back to the next book on that series, So then I just collected all those into a book, and I thought, well, let's just, that's an experiment. Because I went and looked at short story collections, and they're all centered around a theme.
Right.
And I was kind of like, well, a lot of people who read sci-fi also read fantasy. There's a lot of crossover. So I thought, the hell with it. I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to see if people like the variety. They can kind of pick and choose and just kind of see how it does.
So. Right. Right. That's that's a familiar sounding story.
Oh.
I kind of went that route. All right. So you said you got another book in the works right now.
Yeah, it'll be the third book in the Brace Cordova series. It's called The Cordova Pursuit.
All right. So when you are, you write every single day, I take it.
Pretty much. So I'll take the weekends off sometimes, but depends on what's going on with the family when they're home.
Like a word count you're aiming for, or how do you?
I have a hard time sleeping if I don't hit 1,000 words a day.
Okay.
If I hit more than 2,000, that's a really good day. So that's kind of, that's a good pace for me.
And I tell people, man, we come across a lot of folks who are pretty obsessed with, they want to do like 5 or 10,000 words a day, and how to do 5,000 words an hour. Like, I want to strangle Chris Fox.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're listening, Chris.
I respect that. I respect the ability to do that. I just, my books end up being like I think they average about 90,000 words each.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're longer books, which I don't know. I kind of have that slow and steady wins the race attitude, mm-hmm. And I'm not saying, I actually believe a lot of times that writing fast is you actually can get some better writing doing it quick than when you're taking too much time to think about it.
Right.
Because I know that when I'm really into it and I get in that zone, I put out good stuff and the copy is pretty clean. Granted, I've been doing this for 40 years, but still, I think that once you hit that certain mental groove that you just, the words just come. And I think guys like Chris, they know how to get into that groove and stay there.
Right. Yeah.
And that's my problem is I get distracted.
And I want to be clear. I didn't mean to sound like I was criticizing 1,000 words a day. I was going to.
Oh, no, no. I know you weren't. I know you weren't. No, I'm just saying I wish I could do that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's,
And that's the thing. I think if people can commit to it, any number, even if it's 500 words a day.
Yeah, I agree.
You're going to have good output throughout the course of a year. So
yeah, everybody's life is different too. You know, I do that many words a day because I can, because I'm fortunate enough to be in the situation I'm in. But, you know, I've talked to people who are single parents and have full-time jobs, and, you know, they're lucky to get 250, right, 300 words in a day.
Right.
But I tell them, well, just keep doing that. You know, at the end of 365 days, you got a novel. That's, you know, right. So right.
It's like, it's my loose change theory, man. Cause everywhere I go, anytime I see a penny or a nickel or whatever, I pick it up, and, you know, maybe some days I only see a penny, but at the end of a month, I might've picked up $20 and change, just because, you know, some days are better than others. And, you know, as long as there's that forward progress.
Exactly. It's all about forward momentum. That's the catchphrase. And you know what? I the backspace key is your enemy. It really is.
Right. You want to elaborate on that? Tell me what you mean.
Well, you know, because like I'm better about it, but I remember a long time ago when I first discovered word processors.
Yeah.
Because I started out writing pen and paper, then I went to typewriters, then word processors came along and I started using those, and I realized, wait, I just misspelled that word. Holy crap. I can just go dab, dab, dab and fix it. Yeah. So for years I did that. And then when I started doing this professionally, I guess I can say that now. Yeah, I can say that now.
Yeah. You're making money at it?
I am making money at it. So there you go.
You're doing it professionally.
I realized that I was kind of editing and at the same time, and I realized how much time I wasted going backwards when I should be going forwards and just correcting it, you know, in the editing phase down the road.
Right.
And so I wish there was some way I could just like turn off the backspace key while I'm working. Cause even now I've tried to discipline myself about it, and I still, you know, if I catch something, it'll be like a little doubt ferret just niggering at my brain, and it just, ugh.
Yeah.
And I'll have to go back and fix it. So, and that slows you down. Cause then you have to get back on track to where you were when you started backspacing.
Right. Yeah.
So it's, I imagine a lot of people do that.
I tell, that's exactly right. That's one of my pieces of advice for authors is, don't, you know, just do not edit as you go. Like, don't edit as you write. It doesn't just slow you down by half, by the way. It's like exponentially.
It is.
You know,
it is.
You end up just kind of ruining your flow, and you don't, half the time you won't get the book done. I have a good friend of mine. I used to tell people he's been working on the same book for 10 years, but he informed me he's actually been working on it for 20 years.
Wow.
So, but it's letter perfect to the point he's written to. For all the good that does anybody. So you're giving little bits of wisdom in your new podcast. What you got something you, what would be a tidbit, a pearl of wisdom you could share with the writing audience?
Oh gosh. There's
your best piece. Let's dig out your best, your gem.
The best piece of advice I would give somebody who's like been at it a while or just getting started, or
let's start with just starting. What would you tell the will be author?
You're gonna suck.
All right.
It's just, I love you, but that's the way it's going to go. You have to give yourself permission to be bad and finish what you start, even though it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You cannot edit a blank page, you know?
Right. I mean,
the Mythbusters proved you can polish a turd. So if you can do that, you can go back and fix whatever was bad in your manuscript, but don't get hung up on it not being, you know, your writing idol's work right out of the gate, because it'll never be that.
Right.
So, you know, allow yourself to be bad and finish what you start. That's what I would say to people who are just wanting to write their first novel or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, you got now. Okay. So you might have advice for the advanced novelist. You want to?
Well, you know,
same that,
maybe, because the thing about it is, let's say, like, you've obviously been doing it a while, I've been doing it a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to depend. You might need a separate piece of advice than I would need. I would need to read one of your books to see, you know,
right,
okay, you're a little shaky here, and I would give you advice on that. And you could read one of mine and do the same thing, I'm sure. I know I'm bad about repetitive stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'll use the same word in a paragraph kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, it's just the way my brain's wired. So, you know, people who've been at it a while, it's going to be, it's going to be different depending on that writer's style. Now, the one thing I will say to anybody who's been at it a while and is discovering self-publishing for the first time is you have to come to a point where your book becomes your product.
Yeah.
You have to put on that business hat, and that's hard for a lot of people. There's a pretty active literary community here in Huntsville, my town here. And that's something I have to tell a lot of those guys. Most of them are younger. So they've still got that, this is my precious baby and it should never be, you know, it should be gilded and worshiped and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And I'm like, no, what you have there, if you're interested in selling it, is a product that you better make sure the public is going to want to read.
Exactly.
You know, and you have to get mercenary about it.
Right.
So that would be, I think, that advice that I would give.
Perfect. All right. Well, and people who want to get more of that advice, they can, where can they find your podcast?
It's called the Story Shots Podcast. It's available on iTunes and Stitcher, also at Libsyn, which hosts it. New episodes come out every Friday, except last Friday because I'm a doofus and I messed up and it didn't come out till today. So whoever's listening gets two this week.
All right.
And yeah, that's where that's available. And then you can also find out more about it at www.cstephenmanley.net, which is my website, and it has links to all my books and my podcast.
Excellent. Well, we'll check it out, man. All right. So we're going to wrap things up. Everybody listening, I appreciate you hanging out, and I'm glad you got to tune in for this particular interview because, again, I keep hearing this guy's name everywhere I go. On all those shows where you hear my voice, those guys after the fact, they're like, Chuck Manley, man. That's all. That's all they say.
My wife got a real kick out of it. When you sent me the email, she read it, and she got a real kick out of that your name is legend thing. And she's like, yeah, in your head, man.
We all have to be our own legends, man.
That's all true.
Right. So, okay, everybody, you hang out. You're probably hearing the groovy bridge music right now. You may dance in place at will, and I will fill you in with a little bit of housekeeping right after this. Thanks a lot for being on the show, man.
You bet. I appreciate you having me, Kevin.
All right. That was my interview with Chuck Manley. I hope you were dancing there at the end. I do. And unlike Conan O'Brien, not only I may dance, which if you are a Simpsons fan, you'll get that reference. And please let me know that you did. So that was a great interview, and Chuck had a lot to say. In fact, this was one of those interviews that I got more sound bites for his potential quote for his interview card than I'm really going to be able to use. So I should also tell you that as of Nick Thacker's interview last week, actually, now I've got a few more of these floating around too that were audio only. But as of Nick's interview last week, I have started doing what I'm calling the Word Slinger After Show, which I think I briefly mentioned last episode. But this is going to be a special treat for people who support me on Patreon. So you'll be able to get access to this. It's going to be a growing library of these things. And I don't know how I'm going to handle it yet. I'm still working out details on the best way to approach offering this material to people. I do know that I want it to be exclusive to the folks who are supporting the show via Patreon, because, you know, I got to offer you guys something. And I do appreciate the money you've been throwing my way, and it helps with the production of the show and the overhead of the show. So I do appreciate that. If you'd like to become a Patreon subscriber, supporter, you can do that at wordslingerpodcast.com. Click on the little Patreon logo. You can also do it. I've got a link now I should have been giving out all along. If you go to patreon.com/KevinTumlinson. Now, that may change in the future. That's where you start now. I'm actually thinking of, I want everything to be Wordslinger focused, so. That original, there was a whole backstory to this channel. There's a reason why this channel was neglected for so long, guys. whatever. It's a cobbler's kids thing. I love to help people get their strategy in place so that they can, promote themselves and do their thing. I've been doing this for clients and authors for years, and I just didn't focus on my own stuff, and that's a danger by the way. So you need to make sure you take care of yourself. It's that, it's the airplane analogy. If you're on an airplane, they tell you, you know, in case of depressurization, the mask will fall from the ceiling, and you need to place the mask on yourself before you help the person next to you, right? Take care of your own needs so that you're in a better position to take care of the needs of others. And I'm a big believer, a big fan of that Zig Ziglar principle of, you know, you can get anything you want out of life if you're willing to help enough other people get what they want. That is an ongoing mantra of mine, and I do help everyone as much as I possibly can. Sometimes I fail at it, you know. I'm not always very good at doing some of the things that people need me to do for them, but I try. But you know, I have to be at a place where I have the resources and the ability and the energy and the capabilities. You know, I have to take care of myself in order to do that. I haven't been taking care of myself in certain respects. But I've been changing that. I'm losing some weight. I'm feeling better, looking better. I'm getting a little more exercise. I need to get a lot more exercise. And you know, I'm taking care of other parts of my life as well, including the Wordslinger podcast. Some of the deficiencies there. So, and it's all for you guys. I mean, it's for me. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's for me and for Kara, for our family and for my career. But, you know, you guys are a part of that, so I appreciate you sticking around. If you want to support the show on Patreon, please do that. Go to wordslingerpodcast.com. It's the easiest way to do this. Wordslingerpodcast.com. Click on the logo. That's always going to link to the most current version, whatever I decide to do in the future. So you'll be able to do it there. All funds are appreciated. They do go toward the overhead of the show. You can also support us on iTunes. If you go to iTunes and look up the show, you can leave a review. 4 and 5 star reviews are kind of cool, and they help with the discoverability of the show. So, if you don't mind, pop in there and leave us a review. Tell me what you like about the show. Tell me what you're getting out of it. You know, not just this episode, but tell me what the show means to you, how it's benefiting you in your life and your career. I'd love to hear that. Above and beyond that, you can also support the show. This is my favorite way. As you may or may not know, I am a best-selling and award-winning thriller author. And you can support the show, support me and the show, if you check out my books. If you go to kevintomlinson.com/books, you can certainly pick up a copy of something worth reading. I got a catalog of about, there should be close to 40 books on that page. Some go in and out of circulation as I try different strategies. It's just the way it is. But you can definitely find everything that's current on that site, including my Dan Kotler thrillers. There are 3.5 of those right now, 3 full-length and a novella. I've got a 4th full-length that is in progress if I can ever stop traveling. Actually, I've been doing a lot more with it. This one's different. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm doing some things a little different with this book. If you've been paying attention to me for any length of time, you know that I do crazy little challenges here and there. So I'm doing some different stuff with this book, and that has slowed things down just a little as I kind of figure a few things out. But I think you're going to enjoy the result. So definitely check out my books. And if you've read anything of mine, I appreciate reviews on Amazon in particular. Goodreads. There's kind of a better integration with Goodreads and Kindle right now. I had to pause and clear my throat. There's a better integration now with Kindle and Goodreads, so that you can, there's a whole tracking thing going on. I haven't really dug in to find out what the benefits of that are for the author, but I'm guessing there are going to be a few. So pretty cool stuff. At any rate, next up, I'll be back from Colorado Springs. I'll be producing. I'm going to try to do this again, actually. I think this is very beneficial to produce like 2 or 3 episodes in a week. And that gives me a gap. As long as I can continue to do at least an episode a week after that, then I'm always got a buffer, right? So thinking smarter, doing smarter stuff. At any rate, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you're having a wonderful week and weekend. Please be careful out there. Take care of yourselves. A word on, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff happening. I just saw a news story today about two kids who were arrested because they had been planning an attack on their school. You know, they were going to use explosives. They were targeting specific teachers and specific students. And, you know, thank God someone heard, someone noticed, fellow students, you know, heard about this and reported it. And it was stopped before it happened. We live in an interesting time, which is an ancient Chinese curse, but it's also the reality of it is there are a lot of crazy things happening in the world. I've had this conversation with my wife several times, but you know, we can't allow ourselves to be locked away, you know, to stop living our lives for fear that by living them we're going to, you know, see their end. If we're going to meet with tragedy, we're going to meet with, you know, death basically out in the world. These things are beyond our control. So the best that we can do with our lives is to decide, this is how I live. This is what I stand for. These are the principles I live by. And, I'm going to go out and live, and whatever happens, I will deal with as it happens. You can't stop, you know, the random tragedy from happening. You're never going to be able to stop the guy who decided to plow through the crowd in his van. You can't plan for that. You know, you can't plan for the kids who blow up their school. You can't plan for airplanes crashing into buildings. You just can't. You can't plan for it as an individual. You may be in a position, you know, maybe you're with the CIA, FBI, Homeland Security. Maybe you're with one of the alphabet agencies, and you're in a position to plan for that. And God bless you. I hope every success for you. If I can help, let me know. I don't know how I could, but thriller author. As individuals, you know, we have control only over who we are, you know, the choices we make, and you know, how we deal with the consequences of those choices. That's really pretty much all we have actual control over. So it's all about our choices, all about our sort of inner dynamics, our principles. And if you lead a principled life, if you leave a, you know, a purpose-driven life, to use one phrase, but I mean, if you decide who you are and how you respond, you know, you can practice your responses in advance, even in your head. So spend no time worrying. Spend all your time developing those principles and deciding exactly who you are and how you react, and what your choices are going to be. And you're going to live a pretty fulfilling life. So that's just something I wanted to throw in at the end. And sorry if it kind of dragged on a little, but I do appreciate you sticking around to hear it. Hope you're having a great week. Hope you're having a great weekend. God bless each and every one of you. And I'll see you all next time.
Wordslinger.